Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, apart from us rabbiting on.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of that. Actually.
Yeah, there was quite a lot there. You'll hear that more, probably more than Andy wanted, as you'll discover. We also were joined by two guests. Tim Vine came back to see us, the comedian, and we were chatting to him about various things. And also...
Some of his jokes, really. Yeah. They make you laugh, but they're ridiculous.
They are ridiculous. Yeah. And Wendy Dickinson joined us. She was Wendy Taylor. She's the daughter of the great Peter Taylor, who worked alongside Brian Clough, the greatest management team, some would argue, in the history of British football. It's a fascinating story. His biography of Brian. Peter wrote a book about Brian that caused a few ructions between them at the time, but it's out again. She came in and told us about it, and it was fascinating. So
very good.
You'll hear that, and here it all is.
Last night there was no football I felt like I really wanted to watch.
Right.
So I watched Sporting Icons. This is part of the Icon series on BBC. Claire Balling interviewing Tim Vickery. We'll ask him about that later. Talking about Pele and Muhammad Ali and Billie Jean King and Tammy Gray Thompson. It was a good programme. It was quite interesting, except the sort of potted biography of each person. The one of Ali. If I said to you, I want you to make me a sort of biography, about a 5-10 minute, say, biography of Ali's life. Would you miss out the thriller in Manila?
Probably not.
Probably not, would be my guess. You know, and the Frasier fight, the first one when the stuff went in his eyes, it was a very big part of that.
Henry
fight.
Cooper made it, did it?
No, that didn't make it either. No, okay. It was all a bit, you know, surface.
Well, what fights did they home in on then?
Well, they did the Frasier, the first fight, but didn't mention the, they did the Liston fight, the Frasier first fight, and then, of course, the famous Rumble in the Jungle. And that great bit of Harry Carpenter commentary. You know, oh, my God, he's won the title back at 32, which is a great bit of time. But fascinating, though.
It's quite a life, though. It's quite hard to do a potted bag of a guy and life.
I know,
like,
but
that,
you don't
really
want to miss out that. You would put the thriller in Manila, and it was a big moment in his career, and also what led afterwards to what happened to him.
Of course, that certainly is the feeling, because it was so brutal.
And Billie Jean, I don't know if you've ever seen the film about the Battle of the Sexes with Bobby Riggs. It's a great movie, actually, and it's a great story, and she's a great pioneer, and what she did, it was incredible. But the prevailing attitudes of the time were fascinating. They interviewed the brilliant English player, Bobby Wilson. He was a good tennis player, Bobby Wilson. But he was so critical of her. He was saying, she's dashing about the court like a man. It's not right. Oh, Dorothy Hart was graceful on court. It's funny, people's attitudes, you know, how people looked at stuff. So anyway,
so the game was coming a bit more kind of muscular, and the women were becoming more athletic. Well, they were less dainty than some of the players before.
Athletic. Yeah. And then sort of Tanny Gray Thompson, who's a wonderful pioneer of women's Paralympic sport and Paralympic sport in general.
Yeah.
But I interviewed her in 1996. Me and Tom Watt were doing a show for Channel 4. Mm. And she came to my house.
Yeah.
Oh, Tanny Gray Thompson in my house. Oh, yes. And we had these kids interviewing her. And she was great with him, but the kid was so nervous. His first question to her was, were you born in a wheelchair? And she sort of laughed and put him at his ease.
Yeah.
But you knew, you know, you sort of think, not the ideal question, but he's a kid, of course. And again, an amazing person. So it's a difficult choice, but I would imagine Ali's going to win it. But,
He generally does.
You know, it's like all these things. You can't really compare people. I'm not a big fan of that. Although I did think about radio icons.
Oh, okay.
Which I probably won't do. Icons of radio. So I came up with me.
Yeah.
Terry Wogan.
Yeah.
Chris Evans. John Arlott.
Yeah.
Roy Plumley.
Yeah.
Alastair Cook.
Mm-hmm.
Not the
staccato
England cricket captain legend.
Yeah.
But the bloke who used to be on BBC. And Nigel Botherway.
Oh, that's good. Well, it's great. It's good you've done it. And it's good you put yourself in there. Because there is no room for false modesty, is there, really?
No, of course not.
If you think you're that good, you should tell the world, mate.
I don't.
Because they're not going to say it.
Oh, we did
you
play
better say it for them.
We did play a game of non-icons afterwards, where you have to pick the five people you know furthest from being an iconic status.
Okay, well, you're not going to name names. It would be a little bit unfair.
It would be really
harsh. A little bit unfair on them, wouldn't it, really?
It would be, yeah. But a fun game for all the family.
Okay, well, we await. We're going to get the toss at 1:30, aren't we?
Yeah.
Live from Bridgetown. We'll have a chat with John Norman afterwards.
Yeah, I feel this is going to be a series for the bowlers.
Yeah.
Looks at the pitches are really... It's always hard to read pitches, but that pitch... Goffey put up a photo on Instagram of the pitch close-up. And it's hard to read. It's got bits of grass on it. It's quite a strange colour.
And they've been watering
it,
haven't they, which
is
odd.
It's quite dark pitch for, you know, for sort of somewhere it's very, very hot.
Mm.
So, but with that ball and everything, I think it's going to be tough for batters in this series, especially the top-order players. So, yeah, going to be interesting.
Yeah, it's a big one, isn't it, for Burns and for Jennings. They're, you know, if we do end up having a bat, they're going to be under the cosh, aren't they?
Oh, it's going to be difficult, yeah, definitely.
So, especially as Jennings got a bit of a weakness there. But I think the feeling is it should be about building in and staying in, not taking the West Indies bowlers on, but staying there for a while, you know, building up a lead and just being cute about it rather than going after them. That would make sense, wouldn't it?
No, definitely. Think?
Anyway, the toss at 1:30, and we will say cross to Barbados to bring you that live. And the first few overs of play today will also bring you that, the whole thing unfolds, of course, live over on our sister station on DAB, and that's TalkSport 2. You can retune your digital radio or go to the app. It's very, very simple. TalkSport 2 is on the TalkSport app as well. Download it. Well in time for the start of play today, and you can follow the cricket throughout the tour.
And the specials were on with Jim, of course. You just heard them.
Fantastic.
They were terrific, weren't they? Mm. And I wanted to play my version of A Message to You, but you felt it might be a bit eggy. I think you've got a point.
I thought it might have been a bit eggy. Yeah. I mean, you can play it now if you want. I just thought to kind of surprise them with it as they were in the studio. Might have.
Have they left the building?
They left the country. Yeah. So, do you want to hear it?
Well, I don't know.
Do you want to?
It's only short.
Do we get kids want to hear it? Okay, this was Mike Beauvill and Andy Jacobs back in the day.
Beauvill is great on this.
Playing the roles of the specials with a tribute to the then England star striker.
Stop your messing around.
Boats.
Wow, yeah.
Better think of your future. Time you straighten right out.
Still applies.
Problems in town.
You know what's coming.
Rooney, a message to you, Rooney.
Well, let's hope they've gone home. They could be outside chatting to Simon. So if not, they may be coming back in, kicking off.
Honestly, all that stuff about Wayne Rooney this morning, I mean, really, it happened about a month ago. So, unfortunately, the report came out. And it, basically, he was drunk. So he said he spoke in, he was slurring, and he spoke in broken English, which he obviously couldn't understand his
Scouse accent.
Scouse accent.
Yeah, it could have been that. Yeah, yeah. They do struggle. They struggle with any English accent.
He had a strong odour of alcoholic beverage about him, slurred speech, and was unsteady on his feet. Yes, he was drunk. What would you expect? It's brilliant, isn't it? Oh, well.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. As we said, we're going to talk about one of the great managerial partnerships in the history of the game, Brian Clough and Peter Taylor. Peter wrote a book back in the day with Clough by Taylor, and it was Peter's story of their relationship together. I mean, it was such a fruitful partnership, as we know, and culminating in two European Cup final victories. Writing the foreword for the book is Peter's daughter, Wendy Dickinson. Good to see you, Wendy. Thank you for coming in.
Hi, nice to be here.
Some people have said that the book in its own way was a bit of a catalyst for the breakdown in their relationship, wasn't it? Because Brian didn't have a problem with the book being written at first, but then he seemed to have one afterwards.
You get straight in there with the difficult question. Yeah, I thought you were going to build me up to that. I think it possibly was. I think by that stage, the year the book was written, Brian and Dad's relationship had come to its natural conclusion, really. Mm. I mean, I think, as I say in the foreword to the book, that I'm amazed they stayed together so long. I mean, it was over 30 years.
Yeah.
They first met when they were young players at Middlesbrough. Stayed together, driven by, you know, a hunger for success. They had that success. And I think once you get two really strong characters together, you throw in money, you throw in success, you throw in the need to do it again, keep on doing and repeating it. And, of course, we know Brian had his own health problems. I think they just came to a natural end, and you could say the book was a catalyst, but I don't know. They'd fallen out lots of times over.
Yeah.
What made you decide to sort of agree to it being reissued? Well, I'm glad you have, because it's a fascinating story.
Well, we were shocked, really. My brother and I, Phil, were approached by Biteback Publishing, who said they wanted to republish it. We were shocked. We're always shocked when people are so interested still, all these years later, in Clough and Taylor. But the real reason was that my father died from a devastating lung disease called idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, which is quite a mouthful, at 62, nearly 30 years ago now. And it's got very low awareness. And we wanted to raise awareness because 6,000 people die from this disease every year, more than die from leukemia. But I bet neither of you two have heard of it. Mm-hmm. Lots of people haven't. And I helped found a charity called Action for Pulmonary Fibrosis, which supports people with the disease and raises money for research. So Phil and I said we'd do the book, but we wanted to donate all the royalties to the charity to help people with this awful disease. So that's why we did it, really.
Okay. That's nice. It is an excellent book. It is a real insight into their relationship and things that nearly happened in their career. And they did overcome a period when they were working at Brighton. Your dad decided to stay on there. Mm. But they did survive that break, didn't they? And then came back together. So that was quite a big shift. It may have broken down then, but didn't. I think maybe because Brian realised he needed your dad.
Yeah, I think they both needed each other, really. I mean, the story behind Dad not going to Leeds is very straightforward. I mean, Dad loved it at Brighton. Brian hated it. That's basically it. Mm. My dad really enjoyed it at Brighton. And our whole family went down there, and none of Brian's family did. I mean, his kids were young and they were at school. He never really settled in Brighton at all. And then Leeds came for him. Dad was interested in going. Brian came out of the negotiations with, was it Manny Cousins?
Yeah, that's right.
And Dad said, what's the deal? And I think Brian said, well, I haven't really done a deal for you, but, you know, you come and we'll sort it out when we get there. And my dad said, I don't think we will. Mm. So he stayed on. He did well at Brighton. I think he should have stayed. I think that was a poor decision not to stay, because he only missed promotion by about 4 points. But then he was on holiday in Mallorca, and Brian flew out, found him in a local restaurant that Dad likes, and said, you know, I think he'd been at Forest a couple of seasons by then, not doing terribly well. And he said, come on, you know, come back with me, please. And Dad absolutely ran back up.
Do you think had he gone to Leeds with him, it would have been different? He would have lasted longer. Would your dad maybe have said, well, let's not go in quite as hard as that, Brian. Let's work our way in. And maybe it's been a bit, it's kind of political on his behalf, and he might have survived slightly longer.
Yeah, 100%. I think they would have made a fantastic success at Leeds. I think Brian, not known for his diplomacy, I think he was floundering when he got there, because, you know, he wasn't dealing with players who were young and up and coming and unknown, like at Derby and at Brighton. He was suddenly going into a dressing room of very strong, forceful characters, well-known footballers. You know, they'd been with one of the masters of the game, Revy. And I think he thought he could go in like he normally did with younger players, give them a blast of his amazing personality, and it would work. And I think he just got it 100% wrong. And I think Dad and he together would have been brought success to Leeds.
Because it wasn't, you told him they cheated their way to
it. Yeah, that he did, yeah, famously. Yeah. It wasn't good cop, bad cop. It wasn't that simple, was it? That wasn't their relationship.
No, not at all. And I think, you know, people like Martin O'Neill, actually, who's just gone good from Brian, and Peter put his arm around you, or it would be the reverse. I mean, my dad was a tough bloke. You know, you had to be tough in football in those days. So it wasn't good cop, bad cop, really.
We know it sounds like after your dad died, Brian was very upset that he'd not reached out. And I don't know if they were both as stubborn as each other, but we're going to play a little clip, actually, from 1987. It's a very young-sounding Martin Tyler chatting to your dad about his relationship with Brian, and he asked him this question.
Do you ever speak to him at all now?
No. No. I've no cause to. I read him in the paper when he makes comments. Other than that, his distress, members of my family, obviously by things he's said, but not me. It doesn't bother me. My skin's very hard, but it's certainly affected my wife and children, things he's said over the years.
Will you ever get back together, do you think?
I hope so. As friends. In management, no, that would never be on. But life's too short to say no to that answer. Of course there's a possibility.
Yeah, so it's interesting, isn't it?
And then, and that's one of the saddest things about the whole thing, isn't it? That they didn't get back together, even as friends.
Is. Well, that was 3 years before Dad died, and it's still spooky to hear his voice now.
Of course.
But yeah, probably the remark he's referring to is when Dad went to Derby after he left Forest, and I think Brian said he'd run him over if they passed each other on the A52. I mean, it was a joke, a joke. But no, Phil and I, my brother and I, often see Simon and Nigel Clough, and the four of us remarkably get on really well, considering the two fathers fell out, because we knew what they were like.
You know,
the Clough lads know, and Phil and I know. And we often say how absolutely ridiculous that they didn't pick the phone up. And I remember Brian rang the house the day I got, my dad died in Mallorca on a Friday night. I was due to go and pick him up at the airport after a month's holiday on a Saturday morning. Had a call, and on the Saturday, Brian rang my house and spoke to my husband, John, and broke down in tears to John. But, you know, we'd all do different things, wouldn't we?
Yeah, of course.
That's pretty sad.
Too late. What a shame.
We're very glad you've agreed to reissue the book, because it's a fascinating
story.
It
really is.
People who don't know it will really get something out of it.
Highly recommended, not just to people that are kind of Forest fans or Derby fans. It's a really fascinating story of a relationship in sport, I think. It's really interesting. And another kind of strange symmetry is that your dad started off at Burton Albion.
Yes.
And, of course, Nigel is the manager now, isn't he?
We haven't mentioned Mike Langley, which we should do.
We should, yes. Yeah. I mean, Mike wrote the book with him, a very sort of seasoned journalist, of course, and did a brilliant job. It's a great read.
It's a really well-written book. And Mike was a real gentleman, one of the real old school journalists, and got on really well with Dad. I mean, he approached Dad to say, you know, do you want to do this? So I think this book will be popular with people of my generation, but also resonate with young fans who want to know what it was like.
Wendy, lovely to see you. Thanks very much for coming in. The book is With Clough by Taylor, by Peter Taylor, published by Biteback. And as Wendy said, Action for Pulmonary Fibrosis will benefit from the sale of the book. It is highly recommended.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast
from TalkSport.
Tim Vine has joined us in the studio.
How
good to see you, Tim.
Great. What does it mean when he says he's dropping the ball too short? Does that mean he's not reaching the wicket? What does that mean?
It means instead of he's measuring the strip of the wicket.
Yes.
So instead of sort of pitching it up to the batsman, so it's a bit harder and he has to reach forward and play, he's playing it, he's putting it in the middle of the pitch, which gives the batsman more chance to see the ball.
So it bounces twice?
Well, no, once. but it always bounces once, but it depends where it bounces. If it bounces near to you, if it bounces very near to you, it's easy to hit.
Right.
If it bounces quite a long way from you, it's fairly easy to hit. If it bounces in just the right position, then it can be tricky.
I think of the three bears porridge.
Right. Okay.
That's it. That's okay, really. Right. That's,
it's amazing that you don't like cricket for a sort of posh Englishman like yourself.
Well, thank you. But I mean, I it's not that I don't like it. I've just never quite got into it, I suppose. I like the principle of it. I do like the Britishness of a game that can be played over that period of time and end up being a draw and all that sort of thing. I love all that.
Did you not play at school at all?
I think I had to a little bit, yeah. In fact, all the games I had to play at school, I don't really like that much. So rugby and hockey are not really top of my agenda.
They didn't make you
play
darts, so you love that.
Yeah. Well, I did play a bit of darts, but that was under my own, you know, no one forced me to do that.
Now, you've got, you're filming a big DVD, March the 10th.
Very big DVD. You're going to need a very big DVD player to get it into it. It might be a vinyl record, actually. They might have made it too big.
It'd be great if somebody comes back to vinyl, comedy vinyl. That was back in the day.
Well, it used to be, didn't it?
Of course they certainly did. Yeah, somebody's going to be brave enough to do that again.
Yes, March the 10th at Richmond Theatre, So that's the show that I've toured most of last year called Sunset Milk Idiot, which is me bounding on in a pair of shorts, dresses and ice cream.
Yeah, the promo for it is you with an empty milk carton strapped to your head, isn't it?
That's right, yeah.
That's a lovely picture. Yeah. I'll show it to Andy there. It looks a beautiful thing. It looks quite...
Yeah, that's the...
Like a Bruegel.
Why is that?
Yeah, well, I sing a song at the end called Cake and Milk, which is about how I like to eat cake and milk. And I just briefly sing a tribute song to it and put that on my head.
They are good together, cake and milk.
They are, aren't they? Yeah. It's amazing how people, you know, you mention it and people go, oh, yeah, I like that as well. It's a sort of...
It's the absorbency.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. The soggy sponge that no one admits to liking, but actually loves.
So that's, I mean, apart from the song and about Sunset Milk Idiot...
It is as you would expect. Lots of stupid jokes. I mean, as I say, I come on dressed as an ice cream, I jump around a bit. I pull the flake out, and then I say, the music stops, and I go, blimey, I'm flaked out already. So that sort of shows you the level of it.
It sounds good.
And some warm-up gigs then in preparation for that DVD.
Yes, so I mean, I have done it a lot last year, but not for a few months, so I do need to sort of relearn it. I need to relearn. What am I supposed to do now? Oh, yeah, pull the flake out of me. You know, stuff like that.
I occasionally think of stuff and I send it to you. Then I try and think of a gag.
Not as often as that comment makes it sound like.
No, I don't.
Once in a blue moon.
About once every 2 years.
Or once, actually.
Yeah, once. About three times I've done it over the years. Something I think that Tim might like that. Because I've got no use.
He'll be goading now. He's going to start sending you stuff three times a week. And an invoice.
A friend of mine just sent me an attempt, actually, just before walking in here.
Yeah.
He said, what about this? He said, someone goes, !! I said, stop stressing me. There might be something there, might there? I said, what about bold typeface, which is a slightly awkward setup.
I'll tell you what, you tried both of these out in various ways before. What was it? I've changed my eating habits recently. I won't be eating anything in a Bedfordshire town with an airport. I'm on a luten-free diet.
Oh, yeah.
You tried...
I think I have done something like that, maybe luten... Yeah, gluten.
And it didn't fly.
I think I've done gluten airport or something like that, maybe.
Yeah, that's a gluten.
Gluten airport.
And as soon as I hit 40, I had this overwhelming urge to deliver babies. I was having a midwife crisis. You'd work. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, I'm not.
I thought that's quite good.
You've done these, Tim.
Actually, I have got a midwife joke. This midwife said to me, this woman said to me.
Don't be giving it away.
I said, when I was born. No, I can't remember it, actually. It was about... She said, I'll have to come back to you on that. It was something like, I've got a midwife joke. What was it? I'll let you know during an advert break.
Yeah.
It might have been that one. We spoke to you during the World Cup because we know that you're a passionate fan of England football.
I do love it, yes.
And but I don't think we spoke to you since. So it was a great summer, wasn't it? It was a great thing. Ended a bit disappointingly. But
it did, yeah. And it was... But weirdly... Not as disappointingly as 1990, strangely. I remember the hangover from that lasting a long time. Maybe we're just used to that now, but it's amazing we got as far as we did. I still sometimes think to myself, God, we really did genuinely nearly get into the final.
I mean, yeah. It was frustrating, really, especially to take the lead and all that.
Exactly, because we never took the lead in 1990, did we?
No, we didn't. Yeah. And it was, I mean, that was quite heartbreaking, wasn't it? We played so well that day against, you know, one of the best teams in the world, the team that went on to win it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we knew, had we won that game, we probably would have won the final. We were better than Argentina.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was heartbreaking. The nature of it, the penalties.
96 wasn't great either. That
no,
90.
Yeah. No. But there's something about, even, you know, in extra, being beaten clean is kind of easier to take, isn't it? Really? It's a young team. That team wasn't a young team, particularly, certainly not in 1990. I felt that was their last chance, wasn't it?
So. No, that's right. So we've still got hope that, more may come for them. And I mean, I love players that take on, you know, the dribblers of the game, you know, that we don't get much of in this country. So Sterling, for example, is, I mean, on the ball, he's fantastic, isn't he? Really is absolutely brilliant. If he was a sort of a natural goal scorer like Lineker or something like that, I mean, he is for City, to be honest, but if he was for England like Lineker, you'd be talking of him like Gazza or something.
Wonderful player.
He gets round people.
Do you do much football material or sport material in the show at all, Tim?
In this show, I say, I say something about... Yeah, have you seen that Football Manager? Whenever he eats a piece of toast, he falls asleep. It's Harry Redknapp. So not a lot, really.
And so there'll be a few old faves and some new stuff. There'll be some new stuff.
Oh, yes, an hour of new stuff, which I've failed to learn it yet, to be honest. I've got it in with me. I need to start rehearsing it. It's a scrap of paper. I'm just taking it out of the pocket.
Do you have sort of visual... cues around the place on the soles of your shoes and stuff? And
No. Generally, I have just three sheets of torn up paper.
That's
like
incredible.
That.
Incredible.
That wow. shows you the sort of...
there it is. Look, that's how it
just
comes together.
Scribbled, yeah.
All scribbled. And from that, you... Wow, okay. And is it just little keywords that help you out? That's enough, normally?
Normally it's the punchline, so I can't read it out. It gives it away, but...
Yeah.
Fantastic.
But I saw this woman dressed as an Alsatian, so naturally I called her Rover. That sort of thing.
And you, of course, you did your chat show, didn't you, where you would interview members of the public?
Yes.
That was always good fun.
We're doing two specials this year. We're doing one at the Edinburgh Festival. And I think we're going to do another Christmas special as well. So,
do a sitcom or something for the BBC? Mad. Comedy Playhouse? Comedy Playhouse?
It was a Comedy Playhouse, yes. Mm-hmm. It was, in fact, we were trying to think of, it was called Tim Vine Travels in Time, and we did one, and then we did a Christmas special, and then BBC had enough of it. And I was trying to think of any other series where you could think they did one episode of the Christmas special and axed it. That might be on its own, though.
It could come back.
You never know.
So, you do 2 hours.
Two hours.
What it says here.
No, the
Richmond Theatre are claiming you're doing 2 hours.
Oh, well, there's a support.
Oh, including an interval.
Yes. No. Well, I have. Okay. Yes, exactly. And it also includes their drive there.
I'm okay. What he's saying is book the babysitter for 2 hours.
Yes.
But no,
yeah, exactly.
It's a 2 hour show with an interval.
Yes, there'll be a support act. And sometimes I had the idea to record a few sort of little extras as well, you know.
Yeah.
I did a thing a few DVDs ago where I film myself in the audience, just in normal audience shots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just before the whole show started, they just did a few audience shots where I was just in amongst a shot of 20 people applauding or laughing.
Oh, that's good.
And it appears about 3 times. And people, every now and again, I get a tweet from someone saying, "Is that you there?" And at the very end, I'm asleep. In the audience.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. We're coming up in the final hour of the show. Tim Vickery joins us, South American correspondent. And amongst other things, he'll take any questions you have on South American players you have been linked with in this transfer window. So if you want some information, then get in touch. TalkSport.com/H&J. Text to 81089 or tweet to TSHNJ, TSHANDJ. We're off to Burton a little bit later on. Someone who's a big Burton fan but can't get a ticket because it's a sellout.
It's amazing, isn't it? But it's good.
Will be joining us to look into the game, which is live on TalkSport 2. Also live on TalkSport 2 now is England versus the West Indies over in Barbados on DAB. And from 7 o'clock, because they are bringing us the football, you'll hear the final session on TalkSport, here on TalkSport, from 7 o'clock this evening. But as John was saying just now, John Norman to Joe... Yeah, it's a good session, isn't it, so far for the West Indies?
Perfect for them. But the problem is the pitch looks really benign. I mean, the ball is moving, but it's not doing much off the pitch. And if they can make runs, presumably we can make runs. It doesn't really lend itself. You know, it's a bit early, but signs aren't great for this one. Because, you know... You get very rarely...
A lot of runs and we don't get a result.
You very rarely get draws these days. Mm. But, you know, it's looking... Yeah, doesn't... Conditions aren't really... I thought they'd favour the bowlers more. But maybe that's just the way we're bowling. And, Anderson's bowling well. Anderson's bowling brilliantly. He's gone for about five or six off his eight overs. And the other two are leaking runs. So we'll see what happens. But they're going to hope that the ball turns. Otherwise, why pick two spinners?
Well, Moeen's coming on now. So we'll see what it does, won't we?
Yeah,
so, be interesting.
Now, this is the moment in the programme where I, because I bought €2 lottery lines.
Oh, did you? Okay, yeah.
61 million.
Okay, well, 61 million.
61 million pounds. I don't know whether I've won it. I'm going to check them now live on air.
Okay.
So
it could be quite lively, couldn't it?
It could be. If I've won, that's it. I'm off. But I have provided for you and John and Rufus.
Oh, that's very good. Yeah. Do you want me to look at the actual numbers of the winners last night?
Yeah, you tell me the numbers.
Okay, I may need just...
I'll just check.
I may just need to sort of find them somewhere very quickly so I can look at them now and then I can tick them off against your one. So, okay.
Well, you shout them out. I'll tell you.
Okay, check the results.
You know very
early. Was it Euro Millions?
Euro Millions, yeah.
Okay, all right, see the latest results. Wow, we've got a bit of drama.
Yeah, a bit of drama here now.
Okay, last night then, these were the winning these are the winning ones.
Yeah.
Nine.
I'm terribly sorry.
You haven't got nine, okay. All right, then you might still have a big win, numbers, Andy. Yeah. Might have a big win.
Yeah.
23.
No.
Okay. 29.
I've got 29.
Oh, wow, that's very exciting.
Tension.
Okay, yeah. 41.
I've got 41.
Oh, you got two. Okay, I don't know what that wins. You'll find out.
Now on two lines.
Oh, that's no good. Don't start doing stuff like on two lines. Not bingo. 49.
I'm terribly sorry.
Okay, well, the lucky stars, because they could help you out, were 8 and 10.
Nah. Mind you, I'll check, see if I've won the UK millionaire.
Well, I'm not going to go through every one of those.
Imagine.
Okay, do you want to know what it's gone then? Let me read it out to you.
Okay.
Is it XF?
No.
Well, I won't bother then. That's it. Wow, that's great drama, isn't it?
Tremendously exciting.
The odds on you winning it at all, the odds of you winning it live on air are virtually non-existent.
No, they are non-existent.
Aren't they, of course?
Of course they are.
Yeah.
But, you know. Bit of sport, bit of live sport.
Do you see Ben Stokes is out there at the moment with a new bonnet?
Yeah.
He's had a bit of a thatch.
It's quite hard to tell, actually, that
he has. Yeah, he keeps his hair very short, but he's got, I mean, quite a lot of cricketers, a very traditional cricketer's route, of course, they're going to have the old transplant. So, that wasn't a bad ball from... Anyway.
So there we're doing our own ball by ball.
Yeah, I'm just...
It's the alternative ball by ball commentary.
What did you want to say, Andy?
I was looking the other day. I was reading an article about Mylene Klass.
Oh, yeah.
And she's married to a... second marriage. And she's married to a bloke called Simon Motson.
Yeah.
I was dying to ask Motty whether it's a relation. Because it's a very unusual name, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
You know, but...
I'll
ask him Friday, but I feel I need to ask him in advance. I thought about it, and I thought, if I say it on air, he might be like the black sheep of the family or something. I don't know. Who knows?
Do you think Mylene's husband is the black sheep of the Motson family?
Very unlikely.
Or there's been some kind of Montague and Catlett-like split between them?
I have no idea.
I don't know. We'll find out. Yeah.
And I've noticed that another tennis player... And I don't think there's any other sport where the players destroy their own equipment or show outwardly how angry they are about anything. I mean, you know, when a cricketer doesn't get a decision, he doesn't start. Occasionally he does, but not as often as tennis. Look at this bloke. Spanish tennis star Pablo Carreño Busta smashes his bag into the ground after being dumped out of the Australian Open. Mm. You know, and you just think to yourself, all right, it was a five-setter and everything, but no one's ever heard of you. You know, you should be surprised that you didn't go through, really. No need to actually wreck your own bag, I'd have said, but anyway, it's up to him.
It'd be good if they go out there with a small saw and do it more forensically rather than just doing it systematically, dismantling
it. Unpick all the stitching out of the bag.
Yeah.
Yes. And there's a piece on Davina McCall today in one of the papers.
Oh, yeah.
And it says here, famous for shunning sugar. Davina, is he?
Really?
Well, no, surely she's more famous for Big Brother.
I would have gone with Big Brother.
I think I might have done.
If you walk down the street now, Andy, and stopped 10 people and said, Davina McCall, most famous for, go. How many would say shunning sugar?
Very few would be my guess. In fact, none at all.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Among our guests tomorrow in the studio is author Daniel Storey, has written a book about the infamous Eric Cantona kung fu kick against Palace. And I think it's I'm right in saying it is the one piece of footage that the Premier League won't license. You can get stills of it, but whenever they do the 50 most shocking moments in football.
Yeah, then they don't.
They don't release the bit of footage because it's seen as a stain on the game at
is
the time.
It? I mean, it happened. We all know it happened.
Yeah. Just when I kind of
clearly remember him doing it. Yeah, definitely.
Where were you, Andy? Were you working on fantasy football?
I was. I got the next night we were on, I got Stato to jump into the crowd to mimic
and kick Cantona. Somebody. Mm. Kick somebody in the audience.
He did. He kicked somebody in the audience. Fantastic. I think it might have been a stooge.
Oh, okay. Fair
and
enough.
I've got a story here that I have seen. Ben Stokes called the fire brigade just before he left to go to the West Indies. He called the fire brigade to rescue his pet rabbit.
Did he really?
Yeah, they could do with him now, go and wet the pitch.
Where was it?
Hose it down.
Where'd it got lost? It wasn't up a tree, was it?
I think it had got stuck down the boiler or something like that.
Down the boiler?
Something
I think
like
it's beyond rescue there, isn't it, really? You're not gas. You're not Corgi registered, clearly, are you?
No, I'm not.
Where's me rabbit? Oh, it's got stuck down the boiler. Well, keep going, Andy.
Oh,
yes. Well, you had nothing at the other end, so, you know, I'm afraid you have to suffer at this end.
Come on, Andy.
Why is it all down to me? Have you noticed
that? Well, I
don't know. Half the show, do something.
Half the show?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like it at this point.
Come on, we're all waiting.
You cannot be at the bottom of page three, Andy.
I did discover something interesting about Gareth Gates.
Oh, did you
Gareth
really?
Gareth Gates, the X Factor singer.
XX Factor.
XX Factor.
No, he wasn't in the XXX.
I could have said the former X Factor singer.
Yeah, if he's XX Factor, does that mean he's back on?
XX Factor.
I've noticed something about him. He's got such a large forehead. You can draw in another.
By the way, he was Pop Idol.
Wow.
You can draw in another face that will fit in.
It's Jason Cundy.
Yeah, look at that.
Five in.
Let's have a look. You've always been a big fan of that, haven't you?
Face within a face. That's a new one.
It looks a bit Klingon when you've done that.
Head within a forehead.
Yeah. I've got a fantastic picture of the moose at Fulham the other day.
Oh, yeah.
No such thing, by the way.
No, but not for a calendar or anything. I meant for Cold War Steve.
Oh, yeah.
It's a classic Cold War Steve image, so I think I'm going to send it to him because he's featured. Big Sam has obviously featured a lot in Cold War Steve's fine work.
Is he famous
online.
Enough for Cold War Steve?
Well, that's I don't know. Neil Warnock featured. He's put a number of different people in there actually recently, and I think he's a bit of a TalkSport listener because Big Alan features quite a lot. So
you've come up with a cracking idea, a moose calendar for next year.
What a great idea! Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah,
like the Pirelli.
Yeah,
not quite.
Victoria's interested. She's going to buy a copy.
Yeah,
clearly,
she definitely won't.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We are back tomorrow from 1.
And that's a bit of goading from Adrian at the end.
Yeah, you know what he's like. He wanted a zinger. He's a devil. I will send that picture to Cold War Steve. Definitely, he's going and I'll send it, that picture. It'll be great to see him in there. A great honour for him to be in that company. Okay, we will catch up with you tomorrow from 1 when, amongst other things, we'll be reliving the infamous kung fu kick, of course, Eric Cantona.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.